Bill Reynolds was a car salesman down at Charlie Cusack for the longest time. He passed away. He was buried in the Western Reserve National Military Cemetery, whatever they call that. I don't know. It's awesome. And he had his funeral one day, and then a few days later he had his burial. That place, if you want to talk about regiment, that place is unbelievable. They give you a time, a slotted time, when you can be buried. And if you miss that time by 5 minutes, forget it. And I'm not kidding you. You're done. If you're late, you're out. They don't give you another shot because the place is so, it's got such a high turnover. It's moving so fast all the time. Every 20 minutes, on the dot, every 20 minutes, they are having a service. They've got three different pavilions where they have the service. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to get, it always, to me, and I don't even know why, because I never served in the military. I wanted to desperately, but because of psoriasis, they turned me down. It always brings a tear to my eye to watch the military service. I don't even know if you've ever seen military honors for a man, but it always brings tear to my eye to see that. And they had about 20 people that were there for the honor guard, color guard, to honor him. There's about 20 at each individual pavilion, but there were about 20 there for him. And all different services, not just like he was an airman, but not just airmen were there. They had also all the other different branches were there too. What touches you the most, or what touches me, is watching the soldiers, the veterans, the older soldiers. And there was a man, was probably 90 years old, I would say, maybe 80, but he was an older man. And he stood there at attention in saluting. And I'm going to tell you right now, he was shaking and wavering like this. And when they played Taps, he got a tear in his eye, you know. And I tell you, it is so touching. And when they rip off the shots there, they ring out a lot louder down there than they rung out up here for when you have a service in this area. But it's a neat thing. If you ever get a chance to go down there, it's like the Baby Arlington Cemetery is what it is. And they have all the gravestones, no matter where you're standing. And I bet you there's 5,000 men buried there, and ladies for that matter. And all the gravestones are absolutely, I don't care where you're standing, they're perfectly in a row. If you move down here, they're still perfectly in a row. No matter where you're at, they're perfect. And it is an awesome sight to see. It really is. It's down in Rittman. That's where he just was. But it's out in the middle of nowhere. But boy, it's neat. If you ever get a chance to go there, it's an awesome thing to see. But all right, let's get into the Bible lesson we learned last week. Let's have a word of prayer first. Let's go ahead and start out with a word of prayer. Brother Bob Clifford, could you lead us in prayer this morning, please? Yes. Amen. Last week, just for a very quick review, last week we learned Jesus wanted to a place apart. He called his disciples unto him, speaking to save people. He wanted to teach them some things. And we see in verse 1, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, we talked about how great and wonderful it would be just to hear the words of Jesus Christ right from his own mouth. I mean, to be able to hear that would just be an awesome thing, to know exactly what he would say and to hear it coming from him. And he starts out by telling them how to live a blessed life. There's a lot of different spins on the Beatitudes, the blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. But understand this, when he's teaching you something, he's trying to better your life, okay? When he's teaching you something, Christ wants you to live your life and have a blessed life living your life. There's ways to do that, okay? There's ways you can live your life blessed. He starts out by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Understanding that if you're a poor in spirit person, you realize the depraved condition that you're in. You realize how you are inside of yourself. You come to grips with the fact that you are a sinner. Then you see the next verse, blessed are they that mourn, and they shall be comforted. Listen to this. This is not only talking about, I'm not saying that it can't be talking about, but it's not talking about, I don't believe, in its where it's at in the scriptures, it's not talking about you losing a loved one. It's talking about your condition inside of you, mourning for that dead, rotting corpse that the preacher talks to us about, the reckoning yourself dead. You realize who you are, and you come to grips with mourning for that. You wish you could be better, but you know while you're here, you're going to be a sinner. You can't get away from that. You shall be comforted. The lower you go, it's amazing. The lower you go, the lower the hand of the Lord gets to help you back up. The lower you go, the farther down, Christ will stoop to pick you back up. You shall be comforted. The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. What's phenomenal is we miss that and we seek comfort elsewhere, but Christ has always been all of the comfort. He has all of it. You go to Him, that's where you're going to find comfort because He's the owner of it. He's the God of all comfort. You can't get away from that. As we move on, the Bible says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And boy, I tell you, I looked over this verse and I just had a hard time with it because I don't want this earth. I'm going to be honest with you. This is not my home. I've got a home being prepared for me in heaven. But He's telling us to live a blessed life now. Oh, well, Brother Dave, the economy's falling apart. You can still have a blessed life. Well, Brother Dave, the things are going south, and it's so hard, and I just don't know how I'm going to make it. And more people today are depressed than there's ever been in all of life. More people are going on medication for antidepressant than has ever happened before in years. It's unprecedented how many people are getting divorced today and how many people are just unhappy. They just aren't leading a blessed life. I'm not talking about the Joel Osteen blessed life. I'm not talking about if you've got a lot of money, your life is blessed. I know a lot of rich folk that are just miserable. Matter of fact, I don't know a lot of rich folk that aren't miserable, but it's just to be honest with you. The Lord teaches us something here, and I love this. We are not going to get out of this verse today. So I hope that you don't mind taking a long time to go over the Sermon on the Mount. If you look at this verse, Charles Spurgeon said this. Brother Carl always quotes Spurgeon, and Spurgeon was brilliant. He really was brilliant. Spurgeon said, "They that have the best of the world are the ones that think the least of it." They that have the best of the world are the ones that think the least of it. I want you to think with me. Is this, and I believe I came to grips with it. Is this what we have right now? I want you to think with me. The earth that we have right now, the world that we live in today. Is this in your heart the world that Christ intended you to inherit? Think about that for a minute. Let's say He puts you in a big home. I'm excited that Brian and Karen are getting to move into a different home. They're, oh man, I'm telling you, that's an answer to prayer. I'm excited that that's happening for them. But I want you to think with me. Is a big, beautiful home the earth that Christ intended us to inherit? Think back with me. What is the earth that God created for us right at the front? They had a beautiful garden. They had food to eat. They had things that they didn't expect anything different because God gave them everything that they could ever think about having. But it's amazing that they weren't satisfied with that. It was their unsatisfaction. It was their not being happy with what God gave them that caused them to look elsewhere for something more. That's not the world that God intended them to inherit. He wanted them to inherit the Garden of Eden. He wanted them to be happy with what they had. He wanted them to be meek. Now you got to listen with me. You got to think about this for a minute. We strive so hard to try to understand that we need more. The human condition is as such that you're not happy with where you're sitting. That's just the human condition. You're not satisfied, and I'm not saying the Bible teaches us to be satisfied yet hungry still, but it's not talking about for things. It's talking about to get closer to God, to get more spiritual, to get more prayer, things of that nature. You ever think about this? And Brother Coolidge, I brought this up before, but I was with him, and this dawned on me, and then I put it with this verse. And Brother Coolidge, you didn't even know what you were doing when you did the things that you did. It was really irritating. At the end, in fall time, when those whirligigs fall off the trees, I've told this story before. I hate those things. I don't understand God's thinking when it came to whirligigs. They get in your eaves troughs. They clog up your eaves troughs. And I don't clean out my eaves troughs ever. And I get little forests growing out of my eaves troughs of maple trees just start growing up over the edge of your eaves trough. The way I figure, people pay a lot of money to hang planters outside of their windows. I just hang mine from my eaves troughs. God waters them. They keep growing. It's awesome. But one day we were walking down the street, and Coolidge says, "Isn't it beautiful?" And I said, "Man, you're in Ravenna. What do you mean, isn't it beautiful?" He said, "Look at the Lord replenishing and making more of his creation." Now, your first thought is, "Man, I don't like whirligigs." But I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I don't like whirligigs is because they get in my eaves troughs and they make a mess. But thank God I have a house to have those things get in my eaves troughs and make a mess. And it's beautiful. Think about this for a minute. You shall inherit the earth. I'm just going to give you my heart today. Didn't God do a good job on his creation? I want you to think for a minute. Blessed are the meek. Now, the meek means you're happy with where you are. That's what it boils down to. Being meek is not being a sissy. Being meek is being basically content with the situation you're in. Wouldn't it be great if we just realized how great the world is for a while? I'm talking about what the devil has done. I'm not talking about the president or any of the garbage that's going on right now. I'm talking about the earth, the world that God has created. Wouldn't it be wonderful? We just think for a minute. We are inheriting something. If we're satisfied with what we have, we're inheriting that wonderful creation that God has made that's so beautiful and so wonderful, we miss it. How pretty is it when the flowers bloom? How beautiful is it when you see the mountains that are in pictures and sometimes we get to visit them? How beautiful is it when you go down through that valley on the turnpike or on 480 during the fall time and see all the beautiful colors? And I got to thinking about that when I was doing this Sunday school lesson. That was given to me. That was given to me as an inheritance. If I'm happy with it, if I will see myself as who I and be meek with it, that what a beautiful gift that God gave us to just to look out and see beauty, to look out and see green grass, to look out and see the different colors of the leaves in fall time, to feel the, and I don't like the cold, I'll be the first to admit that, but man, when it snows and the snow sticks to the trees, and how beautiful is that? Realizing that God has worked a wonderful miracle in giving us what we have. Why are we so worried all the time about the things that we don't have? We worry all the time that our bills don't get paid, but we're the ones that made them. The money's short. God, why are you doing this to me? Why aren't you giving me the funds? God gave you the funds to pay the bills that you ought to have. He didn't give us the funds to pay for the bills that we ought not have. That preaches well, even though amens are seldom for that kind of preaching. The things that I brought on myself, I brought on myself. Why in the world? God, how dare you give me that bill? God looks down and says, dummy, I didn't give you that bill. I told you not to make that bill. You made that bill. Be happy with what you had. Don't be trying to get what other people have. We focus all the time on people that we think are happy, or think are excited. That's not being meek. That's being covetous. That's not being meek. That's being desiring to have something that God didn't intend you to have. I'm not talking about being a monk and not having anything, but what I am talking about is when you do get something for God, realize that it was from your Creator. Be meek enough to understand that He's given you gifts. I love to hear people all the time that says, this isn't a gift from God. I worked hard for this. I've heard that. That's crazy. God gave you the job, dummy. God gave you the physical ability to perform the job, dummy. God gave that business enough money to make a job for you, dummy. That's a lot that God has to take care of for you to have a job that's supposed to satisfy you when you're not satisfied. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit an earth that God did a great job making. You got to understand something. Don't talk about the earth. Your Creator made it. Think about that for a minute now. Well, I catch myself now. I've been thinking about that lately. I can't stand winter. Careful. God made the seasons, brother. Why can't I be happy with where I am? Why can't I be happy to be right here, right now? Oh, you say, oh, Brother Dave, you ought to be happy. You're not happy. This is good preaching this morning. Blessed are the meek. If you want to live a life that is a blessed life, how many would love to live a blessed life? If we can be content and satisfied with what the Lord has given us, we will lead a meek life and a blessed life. Listen, I wrote a couple things down. Believe it or not, I can write. Living a life of meekness, I love this. Living a life of meekness joins hands with the life that our Savior lived. Did the Lord have a palace? No. Lord didn't even have a pillow. He led a life, and he was meek. You can't be more meek than the King of Kings coming down to die for people that hated him. But you know, the Bible describes what he did as something that behooved him to do. It behooved him to suffer for dirty, rotten people like us. He came down happy to do it. Don't think for one minute Christ was upset that he came. Don't think for one minute when he got here he was upset with his people. He came down here with a desire to do what he did. It was his passion. He loved us that much. He loved us so much that he made a way for us to get to him. And not only that, he puts his construction cap back on and goes back up into heaven and starts building a place for me. Meek enough to understand. He was the absolute epitome of being meek because he did not have to do any of the things he did, yet he was happy to do with them all. Why can't we be happy with what he's given us here? Think about this. And this is frightening, but in this day and age, people are losing their houses all over the place. And I still have mine, so it's hard for me to say these things. But think about this for a minute. Is your house really all you have? I mean, a lot of people have lost their homes. They're selling homes now for $500 and $600. In Detroit, I don't know if you saw the news. In Detroit, there was, I think it was over 500 some odd properties that went for $500 and did not sell. These are homes. People losing their homes. And by the way, you people that are for the gambling to come in Ohio, I hope nobody in here is, but if you are, understand this. The casino in Detroit is abandoned right now. Didn't help Michigan at all. They have gambling in Michigan, Christian. They have gambling in Michigan, and it isn't helping Michigan at all. One of the most dire, one of the most destructive economies in the whole nation right now, surrounded by gambling in Detroit, and Detroit is a ghost town. If you want to watch your state become a ghost town state, bring in the casinos, brother. Our state is not in trouble because we don't have gambling. Our state is in trouble because we don't have God. I didn't even have that in here. Vote yes on issue 3. You do. You are against God. Thank you, brother. If we would be sad, Ohio is one of the most beautiful states in the entire union. It is. You can say what you want to say. The beautiful rivers, the beautiful mountains, the wondrous hills, the glorious fall that we have, all those things, do we forget those things? Those are things that, dude, by the way, can you make the trees turn orange? Can you make the trees turn brown in the wintertime? Can you make the pine trees stay green? Can you make the birds come back north? Man, if I was a bird, I'd never come back. I'm going to tell you right now, can you make all those things happen? No, your wonderful Creator makes those happen. Why in the world can't we just stop for a moment and thank God for the things that He's given us every single day? The air that we breathe, He's just lending to me. When's the last time you thanked God for the breath you took? See, what's amazing is we're not meek enough to understand that the vast majority of the things that we have are given to us by God. They're gifts. Can you live meek? Because if you can live meek, you'll be realizing that you are completely dependent. That's what the entire Beatitudes, you've got to get this. The whole scope of the Beatitudes is God telling you, rely on me. That's what they are. If you sum up the Beatitudes are not saying, I'm going to bless you and make you prosperous. The Beatitudes are not saying that you're going to live a blessed life if on your own merit. The Beatitudes are saying, you rely on me, I will make your life blessed. Can you say you live a blessed life in the hard times? Now understand this, most of the hard times are not brought on by God. Can we be happy? Can we understand that sometimes God puts testing in our lives? And when I say testing from God, I hear a lot of times, and Christian, don't fall into this trap. Please, I'm begging you, don't fall into this trap. Even if somebody goes wayside and starts to backslide, don't jump on the bandwagon. Well, they must have sinned against God. That's why they're going through a hard time. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that's terrible teaching. It's terrible to say, well, you're just being judged by God. Whose business is that of yours? That makes no sense for you to say that kind of thing. You hope and pray that they're not being judged by God. Because I'm going to tell you, if they are being judged by God, judge not lest ye be. I'd be scared to death to have God come and judge me for all the times I've judged people. Thank you, brother. This is Sunday school, right? Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 37. Man, the time's gone by so fast. Oh, my. Psalm chapter 37, and I don't care how long this takes. I really don't. I really don't. If this takes another 3 weeks to get through this, I could care less. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1, I want you to follow along with me as I read this. I'm just going to read through, and I'm going to give you the synopsis of these verses. The Bible says, fret not thyself. Do you hear me, Christian? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Well, this old world is full of evil people getting great benefits. They're not getting benefits. Don't think for 1 minute they're getting benefits. Just because they got a lot of money, you think money's a benefit? It'd be nice to have some money. But understand this, money is not what you need when you're meek. When you're meek, you need what God gives you, whether that be money or anything else. Boy, that's good preaching. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't look at Bill Gates and say, man, I wish I was him. You must be crazy. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's meek right there. That's what being meek is. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Take a look around, brother. This is a great place that the world has given us to live. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you're meek, your desires are towards the Lord. If your desires are towards the Lord, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. You want to draw close to Him? Go ahead, draw close. He'll draw close right back. How great would it be? Listen to me. Oh, man, I tell you, this is such good stuff if you can get this in your head. If you needed a lawnmower, would you go to somebody that sells lawnmowers or somebody that sells rowboats? What a stupid illustration this is, right? Stick with me. If you need something from God, why would you go to the world? But where do you go when you need something? You go to the world. Well, I'm just going to work 75 more hours and I'll have that boat that I need. When's the last time you needed a boat? We live in Ohio. You got to look for a lake. The Lord said I'm not going to flood the earth again, so apparently a boat's not completely necessary right now. But what is necessary is for you to trust in God. I can't explain it to you in any other way than this. Be happy with what God's given you. When you need something from God, go to God. Trust in the Lord, do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't you worry. God's going to take care of all the evildoers out there. There's fellas out there right now, we can't get it out of our heads that, oh, they're blaspheming the scriptures and doing all these other things. Why does the Lord make them to prosper? Do you think for 1 minute that God's making them to prosper? That's the world that we live in. The world, the wicked side of the world is going to let them prosper because of their ways. God will cut them down in their time. Be meek enough to understand that glory to God, he gave you the truth. Glory to God, you know better. Glory to God, he didn't put you in a place where you're under a person that teaches that way. Glory to God. Look at what he's done for us, not at what you think he's done to you. Blessed be the meek. There's bad things that happen. In our eyes, they're bad. I wonder if in God's eyes, they're not good. Listen to me now. Playing football, you don't just walk out into the field and become a football player. You got to practice, lift weights, run. Now, you can look at that running and say, man, this is not good. This is bad. This is terrible. But I'm going to be honest with you. You step on the football field, be glad you ran. Brother Kataiver had to go through basic training to be in the Army. And you look at him, I bet he was good at it too. I bet you he didn't like doing PT. I bet you he didn't like being in basic training. But when Brother Kataiver goes into battle, he's happy he had both. Sometimes you got to go through the hard to get to the good. Sometimes you got to go through the hard because you know what happens is this. You get weighted down and 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 weighted down. And after a while, man, I just can't take it anymore. And finally, you get to your knees and look up. I would to God we just start right here. Lord, I'm thankful for what I have. Blessed be the meek. I'm not going to fret on what other people get. I'm not going to fret about what other people have happened to them. What am I going to do about it? I can't make a hair on my head white or black. I can't make the fall time turn leaf. I can't make the snow come or stay. I can't make all the other things happen. The other things happen are all in God's hands. The important things are in God's hands. Why in the world can't you let your life be in his hands? It's amazing. It's the last bell and I'm all done. Oh, man. We've got no problem giving God the respect enough to let him hold eternity in his hands. No man shall pluck you out of my hand. No man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. We've trust God for that. Right. Eternity. Right. But we won't trust God for today. Yeah. Yep. Do you want to live a meek life that's blessed, thanking God? Because I'm going to be honest with you, if you search hard enough, I've had people tell me, I just don't find anything to thank God about anymore. You're pathetic. You take 10 minutes and look around, you'll find 100 things to thank God about. Go to the hospital for 5 minutes. You'll find 100 things to thank God about. Go to the jail. You'll find 100 things to thank God about. Preacher, I'm all done. I promise you. Last illustration. I went to the jail this last week with Brother Tom. I was so excited. I found a man in there. He came to me. Gave me a big hug. He just got done playing basketball, too. Big hug. Sweet, sweet man. In jail. In jail. I said, man, how you doing, brother? Good to see you. And he said, I'm doing blessed. In jail! I'm blessed. Why? He said, man, do you know where I could be right now? I could be in Africa. I could be in Vietnam where people aren't even eating. People don't even have drinking water. I could be in the Philippines where people are getting shot and killed and landslides are happening, but you know where I'm at? I'm in a place that I'm taken care of. He doesn't even have his freedom. And he's happy. You know what that life is? Blessed are the meek, for they see the creation of God and they inherit the creation that God intended them to have. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to teach Sunday school class. Lord, I didn't get through everything, and Lord, I would like to just continue with this. Lord, it's such good teaching that, Lord, you've given us so easy and plain to see. Lord, why can't we grab a hold of it? Lord, why can't I grab a hold of this? Why can't I put this in my life and to be happy with what you've given me? Why do I always seek to fulfill things on my own, and why do I always go down wrong paths? Lord, please help me to keep my eyes focused on you. Help me to have my life going towards you all the time. Just help me to be more meek so I can be more blessed. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done in my life, and I thank you for what you're about to do, and I thank you for the things that you've given us. Lord God, let us focus on those things, and I believe we can lead a blessed life. Be with us today. Anoint my pastor. Oh, Lord, speak through him this morning with power, and Lord, let us hear from you today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.